heart needs a rest. It needs an international break to recover from that game. Oh, my God. Welcome to Up the Villa podcast. Welcome to our match reaction of West Ham 1, Aston Villa 1. Four words from me, Nicolò Zaniolo and Matty Cash. That is all. Huge, huge performances from those. One to get the goal. And that block was what this team is all about. Commitment, desire, and a willingness to not give in and not cave in. Right. So much.
Breathe.
So much. We've got so much to get through here, joined by Justin. We've got handball. We've got a new Villa lineup. We've got set piece conceding again. Flat half, first half, really. Second half, reverting back to our usual way, looking loads better, just like we did against, who did we play last? Spurs. You know, we were better against Spurs when we reverted back to our usual shape. The subs made a massive, massive difference. And then the end. I mean, the ending, like, I was watching it and I was just thinking, right, I'm seeing a pull on Konsa. Then I'm seeing it looks like it's hit Bowen's hand. Then I start seeing it looks like it's hit Suchek's arm and landing on Bowen's arm. And I'm thinking, it's got to be ruled out here. And then I'm thinking, he's going to the monitor. Why is he going to the monitor? And then he gave it, you know, as a no goal. So we'll get into the individual parts of the game. But Justin, your overriding thoughts after watching that?
Thank God it's over. That's my overriding thoughts. Yeah, you know, I felt this was going to be a tough game. McGinn out especially, you know, a tough place to go. Both had really good results in midweek. Notoriously, we've not done very well at the City, at the London Stadium. So I think I had my head on a draw today. I thought if we get a draw, especially with how the result went yesterday with the Spurs loss, get a draw, get out of there, regroup with, you know, missing McGinn, engine room of the team. That's a good result for me there. And after the first hour, there's not one Villa fan on this planet that wouldn't have said a draw is a good result there. So overall, lots to talk about, as you say, but great point. Fantastic.
Yep.
Incredible. If there's ever a draw should be worth 3 points, it was today, because an hour of terribleness and then half an hour of pretty, you know, not saying at our best, but back to where Villa is, it should be in and around, then that was enough to see get the point and get out of London as fast as possible now.
Yeah, it's a huge point. You know, it takes us 3 points clear of fifth place, above Spurs again with goal difference as well. I know it's only one goal, but fine lines are what we're working with. Yep. And they've got that game in hand. If they win that game in hand, then they're level on points with Villa. So it's important that we take out that game in hand, basically, and we'll still be level. What I didn't want to happen is, you know, to look at things, and if they win that game in hand, then they can go above us. So that's me just looking at Spurs. We know Postecoglou now isn't really that fussed about top four anyway. You know, he's come out and said that he's not that fussed by it. So that's fine. We'll have it then. If you want to finish fifth, then that's fine. I'm going to be honest, like I always am. I'm just honest. I felt like Unai got it wrong at the start of the game. I do really think he got the lineup wrong. I think playing with Duran and Watkins, I think, especially with McGinn out, you know, with McGinn out and playing with two strikers who want to be strikers. It's not like you're bringing in a Diaby who, you know, can drop into that box midfield and can work for the team. They are two players that predominantly will look to occupy the two centre-halves of West Ham. I just think it left us too exposed in the middle of the park. And when West Ham were coming on to us and they were having their big spell in that first half, there was distances from the front two to the midfield. I think it left Tielemans and Luiz a little bit exposed. And, yeah, I just felt like that didn't help us. And when we reverted back to our general normal shape with a Diaby with Watkins and then dropping a bit deeper, and then you start seeing that link up with Leon Bailey, we looked loads better again. So I think we were so much better when we made the substitutions. But saying that, I felt like we did start the game okay with our possession. But I think when West Ham got to grips with us and started to sort of stick it on us a little bit, we started to retreat a little bit. So first half, what did you make of the first half? And what did you think of sort of the formation and the way we set up?
Yeah, it was an unusual team selection. None of us sort of had an idea of which way he would go. I think it would, the question was Tielemans or Irabunim. And then once he's obviously decided on Tielemans, then it's who fills in the positions in front of him. And he did decide to tinker with, like he did last week, but defensively, he decided to tinker with the offensive side of our usual formation by sticking two natural forwards up there. You know, you wouldn't say Duran really is a midfielder slash forward like you would to the other players that fill that role. So it was two out-and-out forwards, if you like, in that role. And that then obviously leaves that midfield a little bit light because it's not the way we usually play. And then when you add into that Rodgers' inexperience, I'm going to say, and, you know, he's struggling a little bit. There was signs in the first half of what they were trying to get out of him, sort of trying to drive from midfield and create the overload, and that, you know, him sort of being the conduit for the to break from midfield into attack. But it didn't really happen. It didn't look that way. And it, all that happened was the two sort of sixes became very isolated. And then when the back four retained the ball and tried to play out, they had to hold on to it for that little bit longer because there wasn't the players in front of them that normally is. You know, when you've got Kamara, Louise, McGinn and Tielemans in there as a four, there's always one or two generally always available to play the ball into. And then all of a sudden you've halved that by two. You've got four players back to be playing up front with Bailey, you know, Duran, Watkins and Rodgers. And they then sort of started causing the back four to start holding on to it too long, making mistakes, passing out from the back, getting picked off, losing possession. And that just kept on creating pressure on us. And we never really got going in that first half. And you know, I thought we had a penalty. We should have had a penalty in that first half. I thought that was a Stonewall penalty. Don't know why VAR haven't looked at that. But overall, wasn't a great half, and we did need to change it at half time, and he did. You know, fair play to him, he changed it, and to be fair to all four substitutions that came off the bench, they all had an impact on the game. And we've said it time and time and time again from the start of the season, five substitutions allows you to change the momentum of any game, and that's exactly what happened today. Dreadful for the first 60 minutes, much, much better for the last half an hour, all down to the substitutions. And you can say what you want about players that haven't had a lot big, massive impact to us and they get a lot of stick, and Zaniolo is one of them. They don't have to. We've got 10 games left. They don't have to be brilliant for 10 games to have an impact on our season. Those moments of scoring little goals like that, having little 10-minute spells that can nick us a point away at West Ham, could be just as important as him having five absolute wonderful games but not scoring a goal. So they all have got their part to play, especially when we've got players missing.
Yeah, and, you know, not blowing my own trumpet over here, but I have said that some of these players are going to play a big role in this season, in this running. You look at Zaniolo, big-time baller who's bringing big-time goals. Got the equaliser against, was it Sheffield United? That header that sort of lofted, I think it was Sheffield United. And here we go again. Got on the end of it and nearly got on the end of another one. So, you know, he's scoring some big goals, Zaniolo. Second half, like you say, when the substitutions happened, we just had more creativity. We had more connections. We had more partnerships. We had more link-up. Everything started to be a little bit more comfortable. And in the second half, we really did dominate that game in the second half. It was all Villa. We were pushing. We was having territorial advantage. We were, you know, knocking on that door with the corners, etc. So, you know, it was coming. And I said in the match preview, and I was on Hammer's chat and West Ham Unofficial, that these two styles of Villa and West Ham, that when they come together, it's one of those weird games where we're possession-based, they're counter-attacking football, and the two merge together, because if you get loose and lose that ball and they react and hit you quickly on a counter, then that's how that game panned out. And, you know, I said all week, I predicted a draw on the West Ham channels. I thought it was going to be difficult. I thought it was going to be tight. They're a difficult team to play against. They've got real quality. They're seventh in the Premier League. The West Ham are no mugs. If you listen to the West Ham fans talking about they don't want the manager, they don't like him, I think it's ridiculous. And I have said that on those channels that I've been on, that, you know, they're a good team and he knows how to set up. They get results. They can sit in for 60, 70 minutes and create chaos when needed. So, you know, they're a really dangerous team to play against them. I'm really happy that we've come out of this with a point. I think it's massive. Again, we talk about these moments in a season, and I've said again all season that this team will have moments where we look back on and think that was a big moment. And this was one of those games. He had everything. He had, you know, a goal going in that we got disallowed. It got that fight back from Villa away from home. So, you know, I think it was a real good point from Villa. I guess some people might be disappointed with the sense of, oh, we haven't capitalised on Spurs. But it doesn't work like that. We can't just go out and just go and get 3 points and just... It's not as easy as that. Like, we've got to fight for every point that we get now, from now until the remainder of the season. And we just got to scrap and fight away. And I think Matty Cash epitomised that for me. You know, that block that stopped that from going in, it was like, you know, I think we're going to look back on that block and be like, that's a huge point for us. I think it's going to pay dividends towards the end of the season. So what we'll do then, we'll do player ratings. We'll do our normal putting them into each bracket. And me and Justin can go through those then. So Martinez, where's he going, Justin?
Yeah, I think he had a good game. Not at his best, I don't think. I think the disallowed goal from, was it Antonio? I think when he hit his arm, I think he was a little bit lucky there that he hit his arm. If it is his chest, I think he didn't dominate that little bit. But decent enough, made a couple of good saves. I think the one from Koufal, isn't it, in the first half, he made a good save. Distribution, a little bit hit and miss, but I think we was under pressure a lot in the first half. So I'd say he was between, average and class. Yeah, he's never any lower than that.
Yeah. Concert, I think I'd go... I think I'd go in here for Konsa. I think, you know, he was okay. He wasn't at his best. I felt like it was in the first half that I felt like he was really defending Kudus well, you know, 1v1. And I think that's why he's in there for sort of like that 1v1 defending, especially on that right-hand side. I felt like Konsa had just, you know, an averagely okay game. I think pretty much all of the back line was just decent. You know, we weren't at our best. You know, Pau weren't at his best. We'd got... Longley wasn't at his best. Moreno was, you know, was okay, a threat, but didn't really do too much. So I would say all back line would go in average for me. What would you say?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Pau's lost possession 10 times in that game. And I know a lot of people were highlighting Longley, and he ended up coming off at half time. But Pau probably had one of his poorest games for us at the back. And I probably think Moreno was probably not that good either, probably even lower. I'd probably drop Moreno and Longley down a little bit. Not quite into poor, but just the bottom of average. None of the back five, really. I think Luca Dean did well when he come on, so I'd probably just slip him up slightly. But overall, yeah, Matty Cash played really well when he came on. I think he was a real change. Changed the game, yeah.
Brilliant. That one when he sort of got to the byline, crossed it. Do you know what? He might have to... He's going in there. Oof. He's going in there and we will decide at the end the ones that sort of get top marks can go in there.
Just finishing off at the back, I think we've got to start defending set players better. It's a real concern now that the way we're conceding goals at set pieces. we've got, you know, those are that's bread and butter for your centre half. In open play, any team at any moment can be cut open by the quality that's in the Premier League. But with set plays where you can get yourself ready for and defend these, we've got to be better at that. Mm-hmm. We have really I got think to be better.
I will try and look at that in the debrief tomorrow. I think what's happening is Pau tried to step up, I think, at one point, and players are just getting in between us, and that's inexcusable at times because somebody's got to pick the player up. If somebody's standing in the middle of two players, then somebody's got to get in front of that player or mark them, or, you know, it just seems too easy. Like, there's just too many times that players are getting in between us and we're conceding like that. So that's frustrating and needs work, I think, desperately. And, you know, I think, you know, I've always been a bit, not a fan of McPhee, but when he gets it right, when we score from them, I openly say, well done, we've scored from them. So in that sense, when we do score from them, that's fair enough. But he's got to look at this now and really sort of hone this in, because it's becoming a bit of a problem that's, you know, and the weird thing about like set piece conceding is you can do so well to have all of the ball and manage the game and contain the game. But if they're just getting a free kick that they're swinging in and they're scoring, you know, all our hard work's undone by poor defending off a set piece. So, yeah, it needs
I mean,
work.
It was all over the place at that last free kick that Ward-Prowse whips in. And we whilst the VAR got it right, and yes, it took a long time, and I was critical of VAR at the Wolves game for taking so long for a decision. I think, and it was unusual that he sent him over to the screen, but I think given that the time was in the game, 99th minute, it was such a critical call. I think the VAR had already made the mind up that he was handball, but I think they wanted to send him over so that it was almost like to show the crowd that we think it's a handball. We're going to just double check and show him that it's such a critical moment in the game that we think, and he didn't take him long. They was almost talking him through it, weren't they? Handball, definitely. And he went, okay. And I think that helped calm everyone down because it was such a critical moment. But yeah, we've got to be better at set pieces. Yeah, definitely.
100%. Douglas Luiz, I think.
Okay.
Off the top of my head, I think he had a better game than what I think we might think he had, because he was in there with Tielemans and he did a lot of good work. He did a lot of positioning. Yeah. I think he did a lot of neat defensive work. He did a lot of sort of, he didn't hide, which I think I'm trying to say is that I felt like he stuck his chest out and thought, you know what, I've got to be good for my team, like be a good teammate. And I think that's something that I felt like Luiz was. And yeah, I thought like Luiz had he had a good game. And you know, it's not a game where you're like, God, you could see him pinging balls. I think a lot of his work was done off the ball at times. And I remember just thinking, you know what, he's having a good game here, Luiz. So I thought he had a good game. Tielemans, I think he did okay as well. I think he got caught for their goal. He was out of position, which left the ball to go inside where it was a bit exposed. But again, I felt like as the game went on, I felt like he looked a little bit more comfortable in there. So again, it's not his preferred position. It's not a position that I prefer him to play. But I think he did okay in there. What would you say about Tielemans' performance?
Yeah, I'd put them both pretty much the same level, because I think they both held that midfield together as best they could under quite a lot of pressure. They had Alvarez, Suchek, Paqueta, Bowen at times, and Kudos was sort of sitting in the middle, especially in the first half. And they were sort of having to repel everything on their own. And I think what summed up Tielemans' game to a T for me was in the second half when we played that short corner in, and he took a poor touch and he got robbed, but then he managed to track back 60 yards and then took the ball off Kudos, I think it was. So I think, yes, he wasn't perfect, and yes, he did make mistakes. A lot of them did. He had the sort of tenacity and the heart to try and rectify any problems in that middle, which is basically the Sixers' job, isn't it? And like you say, a fully fit squad. He's, what, third choice? to play in that role, really, behind Kamara and then McGinn. So he's having to do a job for us. He was under a lot of pressure first half, and he's probably, you know, kudos to them that we only went in probably 1-0 down at half time, because, you know, they didn't create hundreds of chances, West Ham, despite being probably the better side in the first half. So yeah, they did okay. They did okay.
Yeah, try and fly through a few of these. Bailey, I think Bailey again was right. was working hard. He was always trying to get on the ball and make stuff happen. Rodgers, I think, was okay. Again, first Premier League start, so congratulations to him. Again, you can kind of start to see a little bit of what he's about, a little bit like Ramsey getting on the ball, driving forward. There was one time that he managed to get his shot off. There was one time when he sort of wasn't able to get the ball under control. It's one of those with Rodgers. Like, it's going to take time. He's going to sort of grow into this team, I think. And, you know, there's probably a bit of pressure on him to start performing right away with Ramsey being out. But I think he did okay. Like, I don't think there's need to sort of hammer him for anything, really. So I thought he was okay. Couple more then. So we'll go Duran. I think it's difficult to rate Duran because he had no service whatsoever. So again, that's difficult. Watkins, pretty much the same. No service. Very difficult to rate. And then Diaby, you know, came on, added more pace, adding more injection, looked a threat. Great ball into the box for Zaniolo. I thought, you know, he added a spark, which was what was needed. So I think that was a good performance from him. And then finally, Zaniolo, like, I'm buzzing for him, I am, because he gets so much stick and he's won us a point, puts himself about, looked a handful, looked a threat. Well done, Zaniolo. So well done. I'm putting him in there, you know. He's got us a point, so that's what I'm saying. Do you want to add anything on anyone before we
the only two I'd move slightly up. I'd move Dean and Diaby into class, and I'll tell you my reasons why, because I think the four substitutions totally changed the game for us.
Yeah.
And I would agree with you. Yeah, I mean, Zaniolo tried his heart out. I think he knows he's getting a bit of stick from the fans because he sort of ran past the Villa end and gave it a bit of the shush. I don't know whether that was, you know, he's just frustrated, I think, massively frustrated. I think there is a player there. I don't think we're ever going to see it in a Villa shirt. I think if he can come on and just get the odd goal for us and change the odd game, great. But I think the best of Zaniolo is going to be seen at another club. But fair play to him today. Came off the bench, had an impact, got us a point.
Yeah. Unai, I'm putting in class and average. I think first half, we just weren't good. Substitutions changed it. Very good. We can see how we're trying to play, but we've just got to make sure we are switched on for the whole 90. So yeah, bit of both, I think, from Emery. So who are you going man of the match? I think I'm going to go cash man of the match, you know. Just that block. It's that block on the line. I think it was brilliant. So he had pace out wide as well.
It was the assist as well, wasn't it? Was he the assist to Zaniola?
No, Diaby was the assist.
Oh, Diaby was it, yeah. But he had that run just before, didn't he, when he went past three or four and then cut it back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a classic man of the match where you see somebody having an absolutely blinding, you know, full game. It was definitely one of the substitutions for me, and it's either Cash for his impact and his block or Zaniola for his goal. So yeah, I'm happy whichever way.
I make notes on the game and I put Cash, block, oh my God.
Yeah, so it's huge, Cash, wasn't it? You know, in respect to that in the moment, you know, the ball's dropping. And I think that picked up on it, that he gave it the old fist pump, didn't he, as the ball got cleared. So fair play to him.
Brilliant.
Great point.
I feel good about it. I don't know what Villa fans are saying on social media. I guess I'll get a good gauge of it in the comment section, and, you know, everybody's opinion's valid, so that's fair enough. If you want to put your thoughts in the comment section, then go ahead. And he goes off like a fan forum every time. I imagine there might be a couple that are disappointed that we didn't win and we didn't take that advantage, but for me, it doesn't work like that. You know, it's one of them. It's a tough game, and we fought back, got a point. Go into this international break now, have a bit of a breather, bit of head space, let some bodies recover because, you know, you've got power with your strapping. Cons is going to go to England. So, you know, you need to rest, I guess. But, you know, Buzzing is at England. So just a bit of a head space breather as well, you know, because it's quite intense, isn't
huge.
It? You know, we've had a very tough 2 weeks. We've had Europe. You know, we had to go away to Ajax. We've had Spurs. We've had Ajax. We've had West Ham. Real tough games. And, you know, it's not only like fatigue of the players. You can have mental fatigue of emotions and draining, etc. So, you know, this nice little break, nice break for the fan base as well, which I think, you know, will be good, you know, just a little break from it. And then we go into a big game against Wolves, and that's a massive game, and I'm really looking forward to it. So, Buzzing. If you are new, subscribe to the channel, smash a like. We'll do a debrief. That'll be out tomorrow, and then we'll have some content coming out in the week. So stay tuned for all of that as well. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.